So you missed it live or just want to listen to it again? Here is a Chai FM podcast just for you.
Hi and welcome to the Cooking Corner. I'm Sharon Lurie, the kosher butcher's wife. You know the one down there on Louis Botha. Coming to you live on 101.9 megahertz of cooking power. So, again, Levane is a very regular visitor to Israel. She's family there and she knows where to go. But what about all of us that don't really know where to go? I mean, we arrive in Israel and we sort of go, well, okay, where should we go now? So I spoke to a culinary guide, Joel. Joel Haber's on the line and let's see what he has to share with us. What kind of culinary tours do you offer and what would you suggest to a person who's coming to Israel for the first time? Where should they go?
Good questions. So I think what I'll do is I'll answer first in sort of broad strokes.
Okay.
Which is, a lot of people say, like, what is Israeli cuisine? Is there such a thing as Israeli cuisine? Is there such a thing as Jerusalemite cuisine? Is there anything unique about it? And to me, one of the big hallmarks of our cuisine is the specific blend of multicultural ethnicities, different foods from all over the world that are all kosher. But it was really only here that, until recently, it was really only here that all these different cultures were living side by side. And so, like, in a 10-minute walk around Machane Yehuda, you can see and taste cuisines from at least 10, probably more, different cultures and different cuisines.
Just to stop there for 1 second. Machane Yehuda, if you can just explain to those that have never been.
Of course, I'm sorry. Okay. So Machane Yehuda, the main outdoor market of Jerusalem, the central sort of market, it used to be the place where everybody did their shopping. Nowadays, of course, there's many supermarkets all over the city, but it still remains the central market of the city. But because there are fewer produce stands and things like that these days, fresh food stands, so in America, you know, because it's so predominantly Ashkenazic, everybody else is lumped together as Sephardic. But the truth is that there are many Jews of the world who are neither Ashkenazi nor Sephardi. Uh-huh. Like, for example, we have what here in Israel we refer to as Mizrahi Jews, meaning Jews that come from east of Israel, places like Iraq and Persia and also central Russia, Central Asia, like Uzbekistan and Georgia and all those foods, mm-hmm. and also Yemenite cuisine. All of those are not actually Sephardic because they weren't the Jews from Spain. Sephardic means Spain.
Right.
So Sephardic is really North Africa and Southern Europe. Okay?
Right.
So in a trip at Machane Yehuda, I'll rattle off a few of the cuisines off the top of my head, not all of them. Okay. Yeah. Certainly you have your traditional Ashkenazi foods, okay? Mm-hmm. Like kugels and smoked fish and things like that. But you also have Georgian, Yemenite, Lebanese, Moroccan, general Middle Eastern foods, you know, things like halva and tahina and baklava and all these things that are just generic Middle Eastern from all over the Middle East. So those are just a few of the cuisines that you get in the area of Machane Yehuda and also in Jerusalem in general and in Israel in general. We are a pot culture.
Right. Now, if you had to go into Machane Yehuda and you wanted to eat something, would it all be okay? Would it all be kosher? What heksher is there?
Good question. So majority of the places in Machane Yehuda are kosher with hechsher, with what we call tudat kashrut, meaning a kosher certificate, uh-huh. certification.
Right.
There are a few places that do not. I'm talking about in the shuk itself.
Yes.
There are a few places, shuk again being market.
Right.
So there's a few places that do not have certification or who will say that they're kosher but don't necessarily have the mainstream certification.
Right.
But the vast majority do.
Right.
In the places around the market, so it's not just the market itself, there's also a lot of restaurants and other things in area of the shuk that are adjacent to it, let's say.
Right.
Around there, there's at least one or two places that are completely not kosher.
Let's say we want to go for a delicious steak. Now, I was actually laughing because obviously being the butcher's wife, the first thing I want to do is when I get to Israel, I've got to have a steak. So I say to Levana, I said, where would I get the best steak? And she says to me, well, maybe you should wait until you get home and then you can have a steak because there's so many beautiful restaurants here and there's such delicious food that you don't need to have a steak. Do you agree with that?
Well, to a degree. What I'll tell you is this. First of all, what you should know is that in terms of beef, we grow very little of it in Israel.
Right.
So most of it is imported, a lot of it from Argentina. So that already is going to be that the meat is a little bit less fresh. It's not necessarily the best quality meat. Many of the steak houses here are not going to be aging their meat the way you will in a really good quality steakhouse. So I think that whereas you definitely can get a good piece of meat and you can get a ton of great food, steak may not be the top of the list here. There are places, okay? Yes. Like in Jerusalem, there's a number of like popular steakhouses. I'm not going to tell you, look, I come from New York originally.
Yes.
Limare is still one of my favorite restaurants. I don't know if you've been to New York.
I have, and Prime Grill is definitely mine.
Okay, I prefer Limare to Prime Grill, but that's okay. Different strokes for different folks.
Yeah.
But what I will tell you, I'll give you a couple of examples of places that have good quality food, meat food. May not be a steak, but you're not going to be disappointed, okay? So getting out of Jerusalem for a moment,
yes.
One of my absolute favorite restaurants in the entire country
yes.
is in the Galilee.
Right.
It's a place called Hamakom Besejer, okay? It's about, let's say, 10 to 15 minutes west of Tiberias, of Tiberia.
Okay, so is it near all the beautiful wine farms?
Well, that's hard to say because we literally grow grapes everywhere in this country.
Okay.
No exaggeration. We even grow grapes in the desert in this country.
Right. Oh, I know.
Which is incredible.
Incredible. It is. It truly
I always remind people that, like, in a country that's the size of, well, for you guys, I'll say it's the size of Kruger National Park.
Yeah.
Okay? Israel is the size of Kruger National Park.
Yes.
We have over 300 wineries in this country.
That is just phenomenal. Wow.
Yeah.
And I've tasted some of them, and they are outstanding, I must say.
Yeah, absolutely. And if anybody comes here in the summer, your winter,
yes.
I highly recommend trying to work in a visit to the Israel Wine Festival at the Israel Museum every summer. It's the highlight of the summer for me. Four nights they have the wine festival outdoors. It's wonderful. And coming up, for those who are coming soon,
yes.
In February, in Jerusalem, there is it's indoors because it's the middle of the winter here.
Right.
But there's a kosher wine festival, which is also very nice. That'll be February around the 12th. I don't remember the exact date.
Okay.
Right. So Hamakom Besejer is a place yes. that's in a very old town, one of the earlier towns of Jewish settlement in the late 1800s. It's now a town that – it used to be called Sedra. Now it's called Ilania. And this restaurant is, it's a meat restaurant, and it's largely organic, locally grown ingredients, made to order the food. They don't use a lot of, like, salt in their food, which unfortunately is something that is very common, so there's tons of salt in our food here.
Yeah.
They don't use a lot there. In Jerusalem, there's a place, for example, that's called Papagayo that's known for their, like, all-you-can-eat menu. It's a Mahajan restaurant, so a lot of religious people can go there as well, which is nice.
Right.
It's Brazilian-style steakhouse, you know? So it's, you know, good quality grilled meat. I'm not going to say it's the greatest steak I've ever had, but they have good meat there.
Right.
A place called Turo. There are also plenty of restaurants that are open over Pesach. And a number of them that cater more towards American tourists, for example, which are mostly Ashkenazi,
right.
will have non-kitniot menus. Even those that have kitniot,
yeah.
many of them will mark on their menu which dishes have it and which do not, which for almost everybody is acceptable because it's not a matter of like, it's not like not kosher for Pesach. You can use the right. same pots
right.
For many people. I don't want to, you know, say
can't
everybody.
Go into that, but, okay.
But yes. I should say, by the way, that a friend of mine here, Milton Enlin, who is a South African who moved here,
yes.
is has a business now making and selling biltong here.
Oh, Oh, great. They're doing that a lot. A lot of people are coming to South Africa and they're buying the biltong machines, and then they're making their own biltong all over the world. We have.
I think he actually had a custom built something here.
We're running out of time. How can people get hold of you? Where should they look?
So, to be clear, I don't know if we really spoke much about it, but I'm a tour guide, so I don't only do food tours, but I love doing food tours.
Yes.
I do all kinds of touring. And my website is, it's called Fun Joel's Israel Tours, and the web address is www.fjisrael, like Fun Joel Israel, fjisrael.com.
Fantastic.
Also, I can be found on Facebook. Just search for Fun Joel's Israel. Very easy to find. I'm on Twitter. I'm everywhere. I'm easily findable.
Great. Joel, it's been terrific talking to you, and thank you so much for all your advice and being available for us.
It's been my absolute pleasure, and I look forward to hopefully seeing you here in the near future. Let me know when you're coming, and we'll have some good food together.
I may just come on Pesach.